I'm Dr. Matt Finch. I'm the reader in residence at Parkshire.
So, Dr. Finch, you're coming to the end of your time here as the reader in residence. But before we get into what you've achieved, how about we learn a little bit more about you and where you've come from, your background, your origin. What's your story?
So I guess I'm somewhere between a city boy and a country boy, and I'm somewhere between a scholar and a storyteller. I've crossed a lot of boundaries as I've gone across the course of my career. So actually, although I was born in London, I grew up in a country village with about 17 people and three farms. My family was the only non-farming family. So I had this real affinity for this kind of small country way of living. But also, like a lot of young country people, I was super excited to get away. I got to the age of 18, I went to university in London, stayed in London for 10 years, studied all the way to getting a doctorate about refugees and asylum seekers and basically people running away from the Nazis of all things. So this very intense scholarly career and swapping the country for the city. And then there gets to that point where you realize you might not want to be a Tweedy professor. Libraries are great, but you don't necessarily want to be sitting among the archives for the rest of your life. You want to get out there and do something. I was lucky enough to start working with asylum-seeking children as a literacy mentor and doing schools work as well on behalf of the university, and started to see how you could engage people and turn this very dry academic stuff into these amazing stories. And I was so lucky to work with these communities. And then the ultimate moment where I saw I wasn't going to just be an academic, people saw me doing that. I was working in schools with what they call unaccompanied asylum-seeking children, so kids who've basically been taken straight off the boat and they're trying to find a placement for them. I was doing literacy mentoring, and the school where we were based, they saw me working. They said, you know, you'd be an all right school teacher. And I thought, well, actually, that sounds great. Coming to the end of a PhD, need to pay the rent, seems to be all right, this line of work. And so suddenly I'd gone from this really high level abstract stuff about refugees, and I'm basically a kindy teacher. And I'm there, I'm like 6'1", and there's all these little 4 and 5 year olds running around and squealing, basically wanting to play. And it's like there's their parents, and then there's their pet dog, and then their teacher is like the number 3 person in the world. And you have this huge emotional role and this responsibility. And it was just great. And I was really lucky. I trained in a really progressive school where there was a real emphasis on play and people choosing what they wanted to do with their time. It was a very, very accomplished school. And I stayed in the school system, worked in communities where there were a lot of new migrants, there were a lot of asylum-seeking families. The last class that I taught, 80% of them didn't speak English at home, probably 60% of them were Somali migrants. And it was really intense, but it was actually a really joyous challenge as well. And we would do like a rock music-themed term or a rap music-themed term. It wouldn't officially be on the curriculum, but you'd see the poetry unit they were being given, you thought, these kids are not going to enjoy this. And so you'd stir it up, make it a bit more lively. Their achievement was through the roof, and particularly in literacy. And to me, that was really important because, as I said, barely any of these families spoke English at home. So it got to the point where I thought, I wonder where else I can take this and what I can do with it. And I began running workshops for businesses and for arts organisations. I went over to the States and I wrote a curriculum, basically everything from kindergarten to age 18 for this literacy non-profit. They did elaborate author visits for underachieving schools. And again, very tough areas of the States, very much city-based. Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn, I taught there in a school that was almost entirely African-American. Some very poor families there, and kids who would have like witnessed shootings on the subway and a level of experience, you know, even more intense than what I'd seen in London or working with asylum-seeking kids. The first time I came to Parks, it was because at the time they were running an early literacy initiative. I came as a guest speaker, and I remember actually Tracy, the town librarian, was in the audience, and I think she thought a bit like, oh God, here's the flash pom with the PhD. How's this going to work out? And I was standing there giving this talk, and it was things like just cooking with your kids. You know, there's so much literacy and numeracy in that. And all these parents who were so keen for their children to attain, and you thought, well, you don't need to pile on more homework. You don't need more pressure. Just give them a chance to use their skills. You know, if you spend the time with your child baking and playing and cooking, you've got all that numeracy, all that literacy, you're giving them a real physical skill. And I think we just found there was a meeting of minds between that approach that I'd honed in the UK and what they were doing here at Parks Library. Really, it's been this incredible whirlwind, but just always trying to break out of that box and show those dividing lines between scholarship and play and storytelling, between the city and the country. They're not so important. They're not impassable borders.
You've achieved so much, and probably as much as someone would achieve in a whole career. But you came to Parkes 7 months ago or so. What were your initial impressions of being the reader in residence here at the Parkes Shire Library?
The nice thing about returning to Parkes after working here before is you really feel welcomed as part of the community. And there's a really strong core of people, not just the professionals, the teachers and the librarians, but just members of the community who really care, not just about doing the right thing and making things better, but actually showing a little flair and doing things a little bit differently. So Brett Presig, for example, he's the warden out at the Radio Telescope, but he's also an artist, and he was the first one to volunteer and muck in with our comic book festival behind the scenes. These people who have a real passion for art and culture and things that are a little bit different. I think it's often the way with country towns. It might look on the surface like there's a sort of similarity between one town and the next, but you don't have to dig that deep. And these communities are so lively, and there's so many stories, and everyone has all these odd passions and interests. And so all of that comes together when you get to be a reader in residence. The role was basically funded and focused through a need for the high school to boost attainment in its students. But Sandra, the principal at Parkes High School, recognised that actually you can't just do that within the classroom walls. And you can't just do that by pushing the curriculum harder and harder. You've got to reach out to the whole community. So Parkes was forward-thinking enough to make a role where you could go outside of the school, you could work with the library, work with the TAFE, recognise that a passion for literacy and storytelling, that's also about engaging parents and adults and teenagers and the whole community, not just focusing on childhood reading.
Done everything from zombies to comics to time traveling, Godzilla events, book publishing events, and having a screenwriter here. A whole myriad of different activities. What's been your favourite?
For me, I feel like I have to say the zombies. Just to go out to Tullamore and to give those Tullamore kids who lost, well, in 2012, they were the survivors being besieged by adult zombies. This year, they got to take it to the next level. They joined up to play the prank on visitors from the other two schools. To have a battle in a showground on the streets of a country town that is so small but full of such passionate people who they don't get as visits from big authors. That library opens one day a week, but people care and they engage so passionately. We have people running for their lives, chased by the walking dead in the country town, while the police joined in to protect the kids from the zombie hordes. To me, that's pretty unique as a library activity. And we showed it could be done. It doesn't have to be some big city organisation. It doesn't have to require a ton of funding. And that's the strength of working in the country, is people are keen to get involved and keen to get stuck in and give of their time and give of their passion.
I guess a really different way of learning for the children. Why is it so important that the children of today in our schools, in the region and further afield, why is it so important that they do these practical activities, practical role-playing and storytelling activities to enhance their learning? Why do you think it's so important?
I think learning is about so much more than just passing exams. In life, it's really important to get good qualifications, but we all know that there's so much more than that to being a well-rounded human being, to having a good time and making the most of your lot in life. When you get to play in this way, joining forces with a community that includes people older and younger than you, it's like stepping into the world of a story. Life is so complicated and so hard, and if you just get this one moment, this little bubble where you get to play, you get to try out things that are a bit different. I remember watching, wasn't even one of the oldest students who was participating in the zombie siege. I think it was a 12-year-old girl from Trundle. She took charge of her group of 16 survivors, older and younger than her. She gave them orders, she got them organised, she put them into little squads. When Daniel Grief, the constable from the Loughlin Area Command, turned up, he said, It's almost like she should be in the police force or the army. She was so level-headed. She used all these practical human skills. And it's just something that wouldn't arise in a conventional lesson. And this isn't even just about youth versus adults. It's the fact that you get to join forces with the police constable. It's the fact that the zombies who are chasing you might be kids from another town, or they might be adults from your own community. It's breaking down those boundaries and giving you a chance to take your own initiative in a safe space. It's something you can't get through the cinema screen, something you can't get even through your Xbox, even if you're playing online. It's not the same as physically being in the world of a story where you get to decide the ending.
7 months in the Central West. What's next for Dr. Matt Finch?
Time to go back to the Northern Hemisphere for a while. I'm going to see family and friends, take a breath. There are a couple of projects on the horizon, but I hope I'll be back. It's been such a pleasure working with the libraries out here.
And before you go, what is the number one lesson, perhaps, or the number one thing that you're going to take away from your time here in Parkes?
I think it's that anything is possible. That we've shown here, such small communities of people who really care have made events that are pretty much unique. And it's not about the budget. And it's not about waiting for the next funding round if you're a community organisation. If people get stuck in and share, you can do these incredible theatrical things. And the reason why I'm so happy to work in Parkes, having come from big jobs like Auckland, these huge library systems, is actually here you get welcomed into the community and people just get stuck in. It's the country way. Let's do it. And it's been an eye-opener for me. It's been brilliant.